Welcome to Lunch Plus here on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. So excited to have y'all on with us. Yeah. Comment right now. Tell us who you are, where you're watching from, so that way we can say good morning or afternoon or evening, whatever time zone you're in, so that we can say good to you. We've got Matthew Almond on, Serena Ann Crabtree, Emily Denton is here, Sammy Sam, ShamWow is watching and also running our computer. Jonna from the Philippines, so good to see you again today. We have Apostle Joshua watching from Nigeria. Tabitha Almond is on, the gang is assembling. Happy Monday, guys.
Hey, isn't it Labrina's birthday too?
And Andrew's.
And Andrew both? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. If either of you are watching, happy birthday. We love you.
Yeah. We've got William Aldridge. I was just going to say we've got William on, which is true. But I also wanted to say his last name. That's what the weird pause was. I was deciding what words were going to come out. So William is right there. Joni says, I am Joni. Skylar says, sup. Lisa is here. Abby says, happy birthday, Andrew and Labrina.
Wow. That is a lot of exclamation points.
It's true.
Like, that's a lot.
Serena says, the gang's together again. It's true. If you guys were here this morning, happy 5 hours since last we saw each other. If you weren't here this morning, happy last time we saw you. It's good to see you again.
Hello.
We've got Miss Chrissy on. Dylan, so good to see you again today. Sittler is here. She says, happy birthday. Greg is watching in Charlotte. Guys, the party started when Abby got in the comments. That's what happened.
That's
the party is here today. James is here watching, driving from High Point. Lewis, it's so good to see you. He says, what's up, y'all? Greg says, happy birthday. No punctuation, just happy birthday. That's it. Also, I learned yesterday that Greg works with his sister. That's all.
What?
That's just my fun fact about Greg.
William said Greg has a sister?
Yeah. They can't be each other's bosses in the company. Greg is not an only child.
Whoa.
Greg, if you're upset that I'm talking about your personal life, I'm sorry. I'm going to move on. Terry is here. Good morning, Terry. Abby says, party time. Matthew Almond says, happy birthday. Cake, y'all. Valen says, hi. Nah, so cute. Good to see you. I was looking up ChatGPT a minute ago to decide what I was going to talk about, and what I was going to bring to the table today. And none of it sounded fun enough, and I feel like I can safely bring this up because we're both, from our origins, Northerners. So if the Southerners that are watching feel a certain way about this, we can take the brunt of it because we love them.
Okay.
Did you know that Duke's Mayonnaise recently got sold to the North?
No.
A company in Boston bought it.
Boston
bought it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a worse place for it to be sent to as a Southerner?
I know.
Wow.
So in theory, it's to help the franchise like go more national than just Southern. But I watched a reel about it last night, and the guy that was doing it was like, there's concern about them changing, like, the packaging, or imagine them adding in sugar to the recipe. And I'm like, this will be, the South will rise again. Like, this will be, like, the uprising of the South if they change Duke mayonnaise.
If they change anything.
I know.
Like, anything.
I know.
They will lose all of their supporters.
I know. Pastor Zach's over on the side going, just talking about it makes me angry. Wow. Emily says, to the North. Lisa says, they can have it. Wow. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, look at this. Look at
their
this.
Their feelings.
Wow. They're not strong feelings of the way I thought they would be. Lisa says they can have it. Sittler says, I don't understand why this could be bad. Skylar says, mayo is gross. And so, like, no one... there's Abby. Abby goes, Hannah, please be being sarcastic.
Because she said she doesn't understand why this is bad.
I mean, it could be a really good move to get it to go more broad, but it's like you handed off the secret ingredient of the South to the North.
That's bad.
And or this could be the bridge that brings the country together like never before.
I don't think so.
Maybe mayonnaise is this strong. Maybe the love of Duke's mayonnaise is enough to bridge old wounds and help make the two love each other again.
I hope so.
Maybe that's what Dukes will do.
I really hope so.
Yeah. We don't like, or I don't like it, but maybe.
You don't like mayonnaise in
general. I don't.
I'm just clarifying. Yeah.
I love the North. I love the South. I love the people.
She loves the South, guys.
Mayonnaise is ugh. Okay. And then Hannah says, whatever happened to unity? Maybe this is it. Christy says, I've never had this mayo. Wow. I feel like the next time you go to the Aldridge Life Group, William, your mission is going to be to have Miss Chrissy try Duke's mayonnaise.
Never mind. No. Wait.
William says mayo is mid. I know that, but if you guys have mayo in your house, it's going to be that, right?
Yeah. Okay, if we were going to have mayonnaise, it's
going to be that. Yeah, William's off to the side going, if we were going to have mayonnaise, it would be good. Duke's. That's so that's what I mean.
I still want to do a taste test between Duke's and Hellman's.
Mm-mm.
And maybe not just like plain, because that sounds so gross. Maybe on like some toast or something. I don't know. Some people do that. Some people just have toast with mayonnaise.
Do you remember? So again, for those of you who, let's just do an official, can we do a poll at this point? William, can you put a poll in the comments? Let's just do a poll right now. Mayonnaise, good or bad? We're just going to do an official poll. Whatever your favorite mayonnaise is. Because I will say Northerners probably won't love Duke's. And the mayonnaise that Northerners like probably wouldn't be like down here. So whatever your preference of type of mayonnaise is, yay or nay. Because we've talked about it. No, I just mean mayonnaise in general. We've talked about it enough that like we always come back to it. Let's just settle it. Per the Lunch Plus family, yay or nay on mayonnaise.
Yeah.
But what I was also thinking of is we did, back for like the OG viewers, we used to do like fun segments like where we did games.
Oh, no.
And we did a game called What's Unfortunate. And mayonnaise was the punishment for so many aspects of that segment.
So bad.
We did mayonnaise Oreos. Like added mayonnaise in like in the center of the Oreo. We had like to take spoonfuls of mayonnaise and just eat it plain. Like mayonnaise was the punishment. Wow. Also,
people are still wanting to talk about which mayonnaise. They're not just like relenting and being like mayonnaise in general.
I understand.
There are so many feelings on mayonnaise.
My favorite comment right now is Matthew's that said, mayonnaise, bad for the body, good for the spirit.
Okay, Mark is the only one maybe that I've seen.
Who
okay,
just
no,
says
he
good.
Said good. Well, no, we have some others. I'm sorry.
The poll is coming up in, like, it's up. It's live in the chat right now, so click on the poll to cast your vote.
There's a legit poll right now.
Yeah. I love you guys so much. Emily says, so your dislike of mayo is your own fault? I disliked it way, way before then. I've tried it, but it's just unnecessary. In my heart of hearts, it's unnecessary tang that I can achieve in a way that's not mayonnaise.
Another question would be, which this is for another day, but what is the best form of ranch? Because there are so many different ways
sour to make cream it. With ranch seasoning mixed together. Bada bing, bada boom.
Some people make ranch with mayonnaise, right? And then some people make it with like buttermilk.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people have the store brand that, if you've been a longtime viewer, you know which ranch I have feelings about.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
We can't say it again. It just got mentioned last week.
I'm not going to say it again because I've been mean enough to that company. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say it again. But there's one type of mayonnaise that ranch that I will not eat.
Hannah okay. just said 100%. I'd rather put ranch on a sandwich than mayo. That's what I do. 100%.
You put ranch on a sandwich?
100%.
Really?
Yep. I would do that over mayonnaise, but when I do it, I make my ranch with sour cream. So it's literally just a tub of sour cream, ranch seasoning packet, and then
really?
You mix it up together. It's like my favorite dip of any kind. It's so good.
I can see that. I think it's natural.
Buddy says, who are these some people that you keep referring to?
Oh, did I?
You? Me?
I don't know.
I don't know. Abby's talking about, I think, where to eat mayonnaise, deviled eggs, basically any sandwich, chicken salad, tuna salad. And then Abby just turned, there's an Instagram account that I follow who it's like a mom and dad and they have a 2-year-old that's obsessed with ranch. Like to the point that when one of the first words was ranch and walked into the story and they call her ranch baby because she'll just walk around going, ranch, ranch, and like just cries for it at any time. They're much funnier than the creepy way I'm describing it right now. But Abby putting it in the comments going, homemade ranch just made me think of that account. I'll send it to you guys later if you would like.
You know something that I think not everyone's going to agree because, hey, we got a lot of opinions here.
We started with the North versus the South in Duke's Mayonnaise. Like, this is where we're going.
That was an accident, guys. We don't want to actually play that game. We're Southerners now.
Southerners now. Yeah,
we're trying. We're not authentic. We get that, but we're trying, guys. Okay, so anyway. A good question, though, would be, is ranch better or mayonnaise?
Ranch.
They're so different, but I think most people would be on board with that.
What's the poll, William?
The poll with 24 votes.
66% says yes to mayo. 33% says no to mayo. Okay. It's basically where I thought we'd be.
Wow.
I think it's just the fact that the no to mayonnaise people are louder. It's because you've got Skylar, you've got me, you've got William. Like, they're just louder. That's all it is.
Dylan said, Marky, stop. I don't know how to explain it. I'm sorry.
No,
guys.
I agree. I think ranch versus mayonnaise would be a good one.
He might have been saying to the Southern thing, though.
Or just you in general.
Just me in general.
Marky in general, stop.
Just stop. Yeah.
Abby says, the mayo people are louder. What is that sentence? The no the mayo people. The no the mayo. I'm so sorry. Emily says, ranch is not a substitute for mayo. They're two different things. Yeah, they're not that different, though.
I'm not saying they're a substitute. I'm just saying in general.
And they're not that different, though, because ranch is also zesty and tangy.
Pastor Zach is requesting the mic.
Here's the thing. Pastor Zach's been sitting off to the side this whole time, like, trying to talk. Why, hello, friend. How are you?
Just so y'all know, the base ingredient in ranch...
Is mayonnaise. Unless you make it Barrett's way and there's no mayonnaise, which I hold true to my statement. No mayonnaise.
Are you sure, like, homemade ranch, that's the number one way?
It doesn't have to be. There's other ways to make it.
I want to try the different ways, guys. I want to do a taste test, Hellman's or Duke's, and then also taste test ranch made with mayonnaise or just sour cream.
You will like mine.
Okay.
I promise you'll like it.
Okay.
And then Emily says, do you dip your chips in mayo?
Oh.
No. Why?
What? Oh, wait, maybe she's saying... Maybe she's saying because she does it with ranch and they're.
Are you saying because we're comparing ranch versus mayonnaise?
I'm saying so.
On a sandwich. Like on a sandwich. I'm not like. But I also don't use ranch a lot in general, again, unless I make it. But like, no. But a lot of people will. Like, they'll dip. I've watched people dip fries in mayonnaise. Like, I've watched people do this. So it's.
Boom! Who did this crime?
I could list them for you. I'll do it later.
Oh, my gosh.
And Abby. Abby is one. There it is. Abby says, I literally have potato chips and mayo. Did you just say that you did it at school? Yep, that's where I saw it done.
Abby! Yes.
Those were the people I was about to name off camera.
Would you still do it? Or is it just like, you know how little kids sometimes will eat a whole stick of butter and they just have this desire for it? Was it like that? Or would you still dip a potato chip in mayo?
You're encroaching on Pastor Nicole's
She's
territory,
yes.
by the way.
What?
It's okay.
Oh my gosh. That is so gross.
Well, here we are, guys.
Wow. Okay. Well.
And this is where we ended the chat on Juliet going, that's disgusting. And so with that, that's a family chat for you. Happy we could be here to bring such joy, such excitement. What did he say?
He said, well, time to find a new church. I'm just kidding. It's like,
whoa. Wow. Whoa. Lisa Lamb just said, I used to put mayonnaise in my spaghetti.
What
do you mean?
Okay,
we need to stop. Marky and I are approaching judgment time.
Oh,
at least I am. I need to stop. So interested by this, Lisa. I genuinely want to know about it later. Wow, what a weird place Dukes took us today.
I don't feel like I'm awake right now. Like, this is just a lot. I feel disoriented.
Is this like the day you found out Abby's name isn't Abby?
Yeah, that was an interesting day. But yeah, this is like disorienting, guys, to think about anyone doing this with mayonnaise. But anyway.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Here we go. We're all done. This has been Family Chat. Revelatory, kind of gross. And now we're going to move into the Word here in just a second, talking about God's Word was never meant to be complicated or disgusting. So we're going to hand it over to Abby for declarations, and then we're going to move into the Word. It's going to be awesome. Share the broadcast, and we love you. Sorry, I didn't hear the countdown that I was going live because the room is still buzzing from all the comments about mayonnaise. So we're going to compose ourselves just enough to declare the word of God over our lives right now for declarations. Hi, everyone. Hi, Miss Chrissy. Let's declare the word of God right now. First declaration of the day, starting out a new week. Hoorah! All right, say this with me. We walk in the full manifestation of our inheritance in Christ. Amen. Next one. We are out of debt and carry a debt-canceling anointing, and we flow in supernatural abundance for every good work. Amen. Next. This is our year of the fire. Amen. Grab a hold of those declarations. If you want, after the broadcast, come back to them. Declare them again. Declare these. Grab a hold of these for yourself today. And as you do that, make sure to like and share this broadcast. Comment on here. Tell us who you are, where you're watching from, because we're getting ready to hop into an awesome time of What's the Word. We've got a really good topic for you today, so if you haven't shared the broadcast, please do so, and we'll see you in just a moment.
Right.
Wow.
Y'all, no.
That's not the way we start off.
No.
We're not going to start off.
We're still here.
Hold on. Hello, wonderful people. We love you so much, and thank you so much for joining Lunch
yes.
Plus today as we are about to get ready to dive into the Word
yeah.
of the Lord.
I love y'all all so much, and covenant means I have to love y'all. But no. No. Thank you. That's all I said. Barrett
I
is off screen saying
probably,
my mother is one of those people, and
I think
that's
you,
right.
I think you should probably repent to the people that you just looked at them and said, no, to start off with.
Guys, I apologize that I opened that way. I do not apologize for what I said. And with that,
and now all the viewers are starting to leave, and yeah.
Oh, for a second, I thought I actually. Oh, okay, never mind. All right. Anyways, yes, it is. It is. What's the word? Time. It's Lunch Plus. It's, you know.
Let's good. Tell us who you are, where you're watching from, and can we scroll up? Because a buddy's got a question. He said, "Y'all all."
Y'all all.
I don't get that. Did I say that?
No, I think I said that. I said y'all ain't right.
Miss Chrissy said, "Hi, Pastor Zach and Will." Hello, Miss Chrissy.
Miss Chrissy says, "Accepted, Will." Thank you. Genuinely though, y'all are fine.
Joni
said,
"Like,
if you like mayonnaise, it's okay."
Joni says, "Choose unity, William."
Unity has been chosen.
What did Emily say? Pastor Zach, run that no back real quick. Basically. Dean said, "The North has Miracle Will."
That's
that's what my mom probably grew up on. I don't like it. Samantha says hello. Can we scroll up and see who else that we haven't said hello to? That's at the top. All right. Tell us who they are.
Let's see. We got Lisa in here saying something. It got scrolled past. Miss Chrissy says, "This is my year of the fire." She's here watching. Tabitha says, "Hello from down the road." George says he's had mayonnaise and pork and beans. Courtney says, "Hello from Havelock." That's Havelock, right? It's not Havelock or some other weird way to say
Havelock.
It. Havelock. Let's see. Lisa says, "Good
job,
George."
That's the technical term of it. There's a lot of other Marine Corps terms that I could tell you what Havelock is, but we won't get into that.
That's a good plan. Serena says, "Hi." Joni says, "Hi from Baden." Buddy says, "Y'all all?" Yes, all y'all. Johnny says, "Hello from Tuckertown." Lisa saying, "Hey, too." Emily says, "My name in all caps." And then we're just continuing on to where we were before. Joni says, "I will say the no mayo people seem saltier, and that's probably because they don't have mayo in
it." Hallelujah.
Where's
Matthew Allman said, "Wow."
Where's the verse that says, "Love your neighbor"? That's like
Courtney's laughing, Seth is saying, "Here." Lisa still, we still love you.
That was good,
y'all
Johnny.
Need sodium. That's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of do.
Oh, goodness. This is, what?
Huh?
Oh, okay.
What? No.
Water. All right, so tell us what we're talking about today.
Okay.
And then introduce the topic, and amen.
And then I'm going to pass it back to you. All right. So, Pastor Clapp, today we're talking about the foundation of the Word. Really, we're talking about the simplicity of our foundation, and that foundation is the Word. The Word's not meant to be complicated. The Word was never meant to be complicated. And a lot of the times, at least to give myself as an example, there have been times where I've thought, oh my gosh, there's so much in this, and I need to know all this stuff, and it gets to be something more than it is. When the Word's honestly really simple and the Lord's laid out what we're supposed to do in such an easy way that all we really got to do is just receive. So that's what we're talking about today.
Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we actually did a little bit of a broadcast. I don't know if it was the entire broadcast or if it was a couple of days, but I know it was a point that was made about foundations and the importance of foundations.
Yeah,
and one of the things that you want to do often, and this is something that I've learned from Pastor, is we have such this desire, and this is something that we need to watch for. I'm sorry, I just read Scholar's comment.
Yeah. it was just a clap.
Yeah. So, oftentimes what happens is people get so excited when they get a revelation of something.
Yeah.
And then with that revelation, they want to know the ins and outs, the nuances of it, how it works, the mechanics of it. And I can tell you, I have fallen for this trap before. And one of the things that Brother Brian said a couple of years ago, and understand where that's coming from.
Yeah.
Understand the trying to figure out the mechanics. And this was before I was connected. This is actually something that I watched in the depths of Lunch Plus. What is it called? What is it called? Storage. Archives. And Brother Brian said this. He said, he was using this topic, this saying on about faith.
Yeah.
But it applies to this subject is, a lot of times people cannot operate in faith because they don't accept it for its simplest form.
Yeah.
They want to figure out the mechanics and how the mechanics work.
Yeah.
So then they can apply faith based upon knowledge.
Yeah.
And really understand the pursuit of making something complicated starts when you want to figure out the why behind something.
Yep.
Right? Why does this work? Like, so for instance, one of the ones as a pastor that I have dealt with the most is people trying to understand how when I or another man of God, or not even a fivefold ministry office, a believer lays their hands on the sick, how that action causes healing to take place.
Yeah.
Like, there's people that will not and cannot accept it because they don't understand the mechanics of when I lay my hands on you, that there's a transference of power.
Yeah.
And they want to know the mechanism of somehow how that works, and they can't accept it or they can't receive it.
Yeah.
And what they're wanting is the depths of it. So that's the negative side of simplicity, or the negative side of wanting to know more and the depths of it.
Yeah.
But then there's a positive side.
Yep.
Right? And the positive side is this. Like, oh my goodness, I want to know more about Scripture. 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 Yeah. So you do a dive into it, and in that dive into it, you go past, honestly, and this is going to be kind of jarring, and I don't, please hear me when I say this, it goes past what your ability is at the moment to contain and actually understand that.
Yep.
And one of the things that I've noticed is this, when I've tried to study the depths of something, it moved me from a realm of flowing in the Spirit to flowing in logic, and it's cost me.
Yeah.
It's cost me years. It's cost me a lot. And then that goes back to something Pastor's told me, and this is to get back to where we were, is Pastor said, don't base. One of the things that we do is we try to, you know, we build a life off the foundations, off revelations that we got when we was the most immature.
Yep.
And so there's, with that being said, I want to lay that foundation to go in there. There's stuff that you need to be willing to go back to and go, I don't need to know the depths of this yet. Yeah. There's a simplicity to the Scripture that works.
Yeah.
Right? And there's some Scriptures, as we've been talking about, the Lord saying, show them this. But I want to open it up back up to you so you can, because this is something that has been near and dear to your heart as well.
Yeah. One of the things that the Lord brought up when you were talking, just a second ago. Oh, Lord, where'd it go? That's okay. It's not important. It'll come back. It'll be okay. The thing that stuck out to me when you were talking, though, was the difference in wanting the knowledge and revelation for the sake of having the knowledge and revelation and knowing it, and wanting to learn more, be more in the Word, have more of that knowledge because you love the Father.
Yeah.
The difference in the examples that he was giving of, oh my gosh, I have to know all this stuff, and if I don't know all these pages front to back, and I don't know exactly where every single Scripture reference in this book is, I'm gonna die. Like, that's not the way that we need to be when we're looking at studying the Word and seeking after Him. Our focus, like we talked about the last 2 weeks, should be because we love Him. And from that place of loving Him, from that place of wanting to grow in our relationship with Him, all of this just comes to life.
Yeah.
And literally, like, there have been times where I know pastors ministered on it. I can about guarantee you've ministered on it at some point. You could be on one Scripture or like two or three different Scriptures back to back for months.
And years.
Just years. I think, I don't remember what Scripture it is that pastors use that example in for.
2 Corinthians 9.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 9. But he said one time, I could take the first three words of this verse and preach an entire sermon series on it, and then still have to preach the rest of the like 9 to 12 words that come after it in the verse, and that would be like enough for 3 years.
Yeah.
So much more in this book than we give it credit for, because it's our supernatural standard. It's a living word.
Well, this is another thing that happens too, right? So when you try to get into the depths of it, and you move past the Spirit and you get into knowledge and you begin to pursue and you begin to seek knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, understand, and I know where people get that verse from, because that's where they get the idea from, is because that's the Scripture that caught me up, and that's actually the Scripture that I would use to justify what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it's second, I'll read the Scripture to you, and I want to see this, but it's something that the Lord has showed me, that they was in you don't want to be in pursuit of knowledge, and you need to understand what knowledge of Him means.
Yeah.
Knowledge of Him doesn't mean, you know, that I know that I have. It's the difference in like this. Like, I can tell you this. I have met some very famous people, right? Yeah. And it's the difference between having a knowledge of someone and knowing someone.
Yeah.
Knowing someone, like I like so let's I'll use this example. My wife had the opportunity when she worked for the arena that she worked for in Tupelo. She got to meet a lot of famous people. Yeah. Like, so for instance, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
She's got to meet him, Tim Tebow. Like all these big name actors, country music stars, like rap stars, like even some of the Christian artists as well.
Yeah.
So she's got to meet them. So she knows something about him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know him. She does not have a true knowledge of him. Now, what you could do, you can get on the internet and you could Google facts about Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
Right? We'll use him for an example. And you could get on there and you could get some knowledge about him. You could get some, well, you know, he has a house in this state and he has this many acres and this is his birthday, this is his favorite food, this is how many movies he's been in, this is his favorite movie. And you could have all this quote-unquote knowledge.
Yeah.
And then you be able to, like as pastors say, trivial answer things about him.
Yeah.
But you don't know him.
Yeah.
So what we've done, now I want you to hear this scripture, and this is why it's important, is because there's a difference in between having revelation and having intimacy with the Father and knowing about him.
Yeah.
Right? And what a lot of people do, what their mindset is really what it is, I need to understand the depths of him so that I can know him. But in order for you to understand the depths of the word or the depths of scripture or the depths of the gospel, you have got to be very good at the simplicity of it.
Yep.
Because it's the simplicity of the gospel that holds and maintains the depths of it.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a very good understanding on the simplicity of the gospel, There will be logic and there will be corruption when you get into the depths of the gospel. Yeah. Because there's a deeper side of things that we do need to know.
Yeah.
But in order to get there, you got to first be rock solid. And I want to show you the scripture. It's in 2 Peter 1. Now watch this. Listen to what it says. 2 Peter 1, 2. And grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now watch this. In the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
So people will take that scripture and they'll go, I need to gain, I'm going to study, I'm going to find out the depths of it. I'm going to find out what this means and what that means and this means. And I'm going to point these pieces together and I'm going to logically figure out how this scripture connects to this scripture and that scripture connects to this scripture. And I'm going to run my references and I'm going to do all this. And by the end of it, there's this seemingly massive revelation.
Yeah.
But how can you communicate that? Because you had to go through 65 different scriptures to try to get to the point when the point was already made in one.
Yep.
Right? And what that is trying to understand the complexity of it, but understand the push to do that is because it's thinking I have to have knowledge in order to teach it. I need to have some kind of piece of paper that rolls out and says, see, I know what I'm talking about.
No, please go right in.
So and this is where the Lord corrected me on that. Go to John chapter 5 and go to verse 36.
Got it.
And go ahead and start reading it, verse 36. John 5, 36.
All right. John 5, 36 says, but the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given to me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me.
Keep going.
And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent.
All right. Now, all right, so this is the reason why I wanted to do these scriptures.
Yeah.
So understand backstory here. Jesus is talking to Pharisees, right? He's talking to people. Now hear this, who have devoted themselves to intellectual knowledge of the word.
Yeah.
Like basic, in order to be a Pharisee, like understand some of this. I had some friends that was in Israel. He actually invited me. I didn't get to go because we moved, but he was an Orthodox Jew. So he's still practicing the law to this day. He wasn't very good at it, but he practiced it, and that's his own words telling me that. He goes, so understand this, in order for you to be a Pharisee, in order for you to have that type of office, that type of level, be it that type of operation level, right? You had to be able to quote what in Hebrew and in Greek and then in that area is called either the Torah or the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. Now understand when I say this, you had to be able to quote them. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
They had to be able to memorize all five books and be able to quote them at any given point because that was their job. Their job was to minister that. Their job was to teach that. They also heavily studied the prophets. So basically, they could have basically done the same thing with most of the books from the prophets, right? Now, it wasn't a requirement for them to have them memorized, like as we would say, hey, let's memorize scripture. Yeah. But they could tell you the ins and outs. They could tell you the depths of it. They could tell you the scripture, the reference. They could tell you all of that in order to be at that level.
Yeah.
So now, hear this. You had Pharisees, but then you have the Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're talking about people here. So these are the people that's all coming in, and that Jesus is looking at them is you're about to see this. Jesus is looking at them and basically goes, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Oh, but they could tell you all this.
Mm-hmm.
They could tell you all of it.
Yep.
But they didn't know it.
Yeah.
They knew it here, and they could tell you the depths. They could probably even tell you how some of that worked and the inner meaning of it and how this scripture connects to this scripture and how this scripture is actually a prophecy of something that happened here. And they could tell you all of that, but look what Jesus said. Go ahead and read verse 39.
Verse 39 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me.
All right, so look at what he says. Notice what he says. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is important. I want you to put this in the comments, okay? They thought they had eternal life.
Yeah.
Is that not what it just said?
Mm-hmm.
You search the scripture because you think that in them, right, in the actual ink written on paper, in the knowledge of the words on here, and the depths of those words, the meaning of those words, like I really enjoy, like, this is something that pastors told me I need to watch. Like, and I've actually had to not do this and go, Holy Spirit, if I'm doing wrong, like, warning flag, send it off to me.
Yeah.
And he does it pretty often. Is I'll see a word and I'll go, Holy Spirit, why did you use that word? So instead of asking Holy Spirit and waiting on Holy Spirit, you know what I immediately start doing? Well, let me go to my blue letter. Let me go to my e-sword. Let me go to all this. And I'm going to start researching the depths. I'm going to go into the original language. I'm going to look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek Bible in its original language. I'm going to go look at the breakdown of the Hebrew word and how they got that and why they use that word. Is there any other different meanings?
Yeah.
So what am I doing? I'm making something simple, complex, because I want to know the why Holy Spirit used one word. Well, instead of me trying to figure out the why not simply go, Holy Spirit, can you just tell me why?
Yeah.
See, that's the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me researching, connecting the dots to try to figure it out. It's just him telling me because he knows why he wrote the words.
Yeah.
He knows exactly why he used that word. He knows exactly. And then there's been times Holy Spirit would say, hey, I want you to go look that word up.
Yeah.
Go look that up in there. And then as I get there, I start going, oh, and he starts beginning to show me. But I'm studying that based upon his leading, not my urge to grab a hold of knowledge-based revelation.
Yeah.
Instead of Holy Ghost-based revelation, because those are two different things. There's a knowledge-based revelation. Let me not use the word revelation because that's not right. There is a mental-based knowledge, and there's a revelation knowledge that comes, and these are two totally different things.
Yeah.
What you'll see here in a second, that you have Pharisees that he's talking to. In verse 39, he says, you search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. But look at what he says, the last couple of words. He said, it is these that testify about me. Mm-hmm. So what was the simplicity of the scriptures they were studying?
It was that they testified about him.
So they had the manifestation, the simplicity of the scripture, literally standing, manifested, standing in front of them.
Yeah.
But because they had all the nuances of all the everything happening under here, that they didn't understand the simplicity of it, was the fullness of the scriptures was standing right in front of them, and they missed it. Now, they could quote it. They could teach you the depths of it. They could they could help you understand the logical reasons why. But when the fullness of those words were in operation, nothing was there. Read verse 40.
Verse 40. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves.
All right, so let's go do the, go back to this. All right, go back to verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life.
Yeah.
So what is that the pursuit of? What is it? Listen to that. We're going to read it one more time. All right. Last week we talked a lot about hungering, and we talked a lot about seeking, and we taught a lot about going after going after the Lord and hungering after Him.
Yeah.
Would you say that the Pharisees were hungry for God?
Yeah.
Would you say that they were probably more hungry than the rest?
Depending on how you looked at it, yeah.
Well, I mean, they devoted their entire lives to understanding Scripture and to seeking the Lord and to finding Him, right?
Yeah.
So they're hungry people.
Yes.
Very hungry people. So you would say that they were hungry and they're seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then they went after Him by seeking the Scriptures.
Yes.
Is that wrong? Is it wrong to seek the Lord in that way?
No.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
So where did they go wrong? Obviously, there's a disconnect here.
Yeah.
Because you have Jesus Himself saying, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me.
Yeah.
Right? So where? So they're seeking. They're seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking Jesus. They're seeking the Messiah. They're wanting the Messiah.
Yeah.
So where did they go wrong?
They sought the knowledge of it more than they sought Him.
So they're pursuing what?
Knowledge.
And not pursuing Him.
Yeah.
What did Eve do?
He sought after knowledge and not Him. Yeah.
Thinking, right? Because the enemy come in, and the enemy said, oh, we don't need you to do that. Or the Lord doesn't want you to do that because He knows if you take of that, you'll be just like Him.
Yeah.
So there was a shift from pursuing the Lord to pursuing knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? What the Pharisees have done, they was pursuing knowledge. They was pursuing, literally, you look at it like the title for today says this, God's Word was never meant to be complicated.
Yeah.
How complicated do we make things when we study based upon our own understanding and revelation and try to connect the dots versus to when Holy Spirit just makes us to know.
Yeah.
You see the depths of it there, the difference in it.
Yeah.
So you look at this and you see, you search the Scriptures. So instead of seeking the Lord, instead of seeking God, you're seeking the intellectual prowess that comes from this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is power in knowing this word. Yeah. Like, there's power in knowing, and this is what I mean by that. Like, I remember when I was younger, I could quote more scripture than most people. Like, they would even be pastors. Like, before I was a pastor, before I was separated. It can go to the wide shot with just William and I. I would be sitting there and I'd be talking to him, and I had the opportunity to be in conversations with men that was like I honestly, knowing what I know now, I really had no business being in the room with them, but the favor of the Lord and, you know, my grandfather being the pastor of the church, that kind of helped.
Yeah.
So see this, what took place, right? They would be in there and they would be trying to quote scriptures, and I would be like, and I would tell them scripture, and they would turn and look at me and be like, and now watch this. This is something that it actually became an identity of mine, and I put identity in, I had knowledge that other people didn't.
Yeah.
And it became about me. And that's really where the wanting to understand the complexity of the scripture, really the truth of it is, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but a lot of the time, people like the ability to be able to say, oh, that person knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So they'll pursue the complicated things so that they can wow people with their revelation and their knowledge in certain conversations. And I got I'll tell you this, I got addicted to that.
Yeah.
Because I have these major men of God. Like I remember one of them. His name was Brother Baggett, and like he had like the gift of faith had hit him, and he'd raise some people from the dead.
Yeah.
But he would call me out because I would knew scripture, and I was like, ooh. And what I would do, I started searching more of the depths of scripture so I could stand out.
Yeah.
Well, what's my why?
You wanted to stand out.
I wanted to stand out. I want to be known. Now, some of that was the gift that I had on my life and the enemy corrupting that gift and that kind of stuff. But the reason that I was able to do that was some of that was the gifting that the Lord had put in me. And at this time, I didn't know I was called. I didn't know I was called and that kind of stuff. I just stood out.
Yeah.
But it was also because, you know, my grandfather made us quote scripture, made us get in. It was a very big thing to him.
Yeah.
But you see this, they're searching the scripture looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking for?
They're looking for him.
Well, what does the scripture
actually say? Well, it legitimately says that you think that in them you have eternal life.
All right, so now watch this. Go to John 3:16.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All right, so you see that, read it again a little bit slower.
Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All right, so what they're doing, they're searching the scriptures because they know that eternal life is in the one who obtains or has eternal life. Right?
Yeah.
Is talked about in the scripture.
Yep.
So they're searching, looking for a sign, looking for something to show them the coming Messiah and who he is, what he is, what he's going to do. So they're searching the complexity of the scripture instead of just saying, okay, God, you said there was a Messiah coming. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Now do this. I'm going to read. You go to John 17:3. And I'm going to go back to 1 Peter.
Okay.
Or 2 Peter 1, I apologize. Now watch this. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence. I'm going to skip over to verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what people are wanting, what they're desiring, is eternal life.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They are wanting, they're desiring, and based upon some of these scriptures to somebody they are hungry for the Lord. They're desiring the Lord, but they think it comes through their knowledge of mental understanding. They'll start seeking out the complexity of the scripture, not realizing that the knowledge that it's talking about there is John 17:3. Read John 17:3.
It says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent.
So, in order to receive eternal life, you first have to have who?
Him.
You got to have Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't come through understanding of the complexity of the word.
Yeah.
It simply comes like this. Lord, I receive you. Go back to John 3:16. So watch how simple this is. Look at what it says here. Like, this is probably the simplest scripture. This is the scripture that I'm convinced. I'm convinced about this.
Yeah.
90% of the world knows this scripture.
Yep.
Read it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him.
Stop. That whoever what?
That whoever believes in him.
That whoever what?
Believes in him.
Not whoever can quote all the scriptures. Not whoever can figure all of this out and connect all the pieces. The simplicity of it says, what?
Whoever believes in him.
Shall what?
Not perish, but have eternal life.
So in order for me to gain eternal life, which is knowing the Father,
yeah,
knowing Jesus, knowing God, knowing Holy Spirit, being in intimate fellowship, the first step is not knowing all the scriptures and the nuances of it. Yeah. It's simply going, Lord, I believe in you and I receive you.
Yeah.
That's that simple.
Yeah.
But because it's that simple and because we're in a pursuit of knowledge, we go, it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
There's no way it's that easy.
Yeah.
This is how I did. The other day something happened. And I was doing, and I was putting something together, and I went to do something, and it happened, and I went, it can't be that easy.
Yeah.
Because the hour before that, I was trying to figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, how is this going to work? And this is something like around the house. It wasn't nothing, you know, this scripture or nothing like that. It was just simply day-to-day stuff. Now, but watch this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm doing, and I simply, this is all I did. I just, if this is what I was doing, like, I just took the two pieces. I don't know if y'all can see this. Maybe see it on my shirt, right? And I just put them together. And as soon as I put it together, it started working. And I went, there's no way it was that easy.
Yeah.
There's no way. Only thing I had to do an hour ago was just put those together.
Was that? Yeah.
So you know what I did? I went and got the instruction manual. And it literally says, if you've done all these steps, only thing that's required to do is just to put it together. It completes the circuit and everything goes. Like it, I say the other day, this was like probably years ago. It was one of my kids. Y'all remember back in the day, the cars that had the track that you put it together and you hold the button down and it goes around the track?
Yeah.
I could not figure out why it wasn't working, because here's the deal. I had put the track together, because this was my thinking. Do you know how many of these I put together? I know how to do this. I don't need it. But I knew the depths of it, but the simplicity of it, I didn't understand. I didn't know. So I went back and looked, and I missed one step. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't think that this little antenna piece had to be there. Boop. And then I put it on there, and literally I connected those, and it immediately started working.
Yeah.
But it was so simple that I couldn't believe it. I did not think it was that simple, so I needed to research how it wanted to work. Like, that's what my flesh wanted to do. I wanted to research how that this one little piece that seemingly unimportant didn't all of a sudden nothing was working, but I just did that and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Instead of just accepting it for that's what it was, I wanted to know the depths of it. And that's what happens in the Word. That's what happens in the Scripture. Because we don't understand it, because we can't figure it out. We want to study the complexity of it instead of just accepting it in the simplest form because God said so.
Yeah. I mean, it even says that in a scripture. It says, lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding.
In all your
ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I've memorized it in the KJV when I was a kid. So I'm
you're fine.
Trying not to say thee and thy.
Go back to that scripture in Proverbs.
Could you help a brother out with what chapter?
Proverbs 3.
Thank you. Still working on memorizing these. See? What we're talking about.
Keep going.
Okay. Let me see. There we go. Proverbs 3:6. Actually, number 5.
Yeah.
3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
All right. So right there, is that a suggestion?
No, that's a command.
All right. So the simplicity of that scripture says what?
It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding.
But what about this scenario? There's a scenario that's coming in that I've got to figure out. I've got to figure out how to do it. Because if I don't figure it out, because this God wasn't thinking of that scenario when he had Holy Spirit write that.
Yeah, no, that doesn't apply. No.
All right. One Abby brought up this morning that I thought was good. She didn't realize it. She kind of stepped on my toes when she said it. I needed it.
Yeah.
Like this morning I woke up and my truck decided it didn't want to crank. So I was like, so what I did, like in the natural logic is going, all right, I got the kids. Mm-hmm. I've got to figure out a way to get the truck in the shop, get it fixed, get it out before the kids go. So I started trying to connect all these pieces.
Yeah.
And what was I doing in that moment?
You're trying to figure it out.
I was trying to figure it out. But the scripture that Abby brought up, the scripture says, do not worry, it says, do not be anxious for anything.
Yeah.
What was I doing?
Being anxious for something.
I was being anxious for something. I was trying to figure out how I was going to connect the dots of today.
Yeah.
And when I finally went, Lord, you got it. And I walked back into that. Now, this is what happened. Watch this. I finally said, like, I was trying to think about it before George got there. I was like, I got to figure this out. Like, and then I finally went in the house and I went, Lord, that ain't even my vehicle. That's your vehicle. Yeah. If it's supposed to be broken today, whatever, I don't care. Because I know you got it and everything's going to work out. George pulls up. We didn't even connect the jumper cables. I walk over and it crunk right up. I was like,
yeah.
See what happened when you stop being anxious?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
It says, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Don't be what?
Wise in your own eyes.
What's today's title?
It says, God's word was never meant to be complicated.
So in the pursuit of wisdom, in the pursuit of knowledge, you're not trusting God. Mm-hmm. You're not seeking the Lord, you're seeking wisdom. There's a pursuit of knowledge that's there.
Yeah.
And because we take scriptures like too, like I believe it's in Hosea 4:6, he says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So there's something to say about that. You know, there's a study that you need to do. We see that in scripture, it says study to show yourself approved, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean study to show yourself approved and then you lean on your understanding of that.
Yeah.
That's not what that means. Mm-hmm. Peter says, I forget where it's at, I believe it's 1 Peter 4, says, I believe it's 1 Peter 4, he says in there that I'll remind you of this, and he basically is going, he goes, be ready at any time to be able to defend the gospel.
Yeah.
So these are the scriptures that's taken really out of context in the that is meant for keep the word before you at all times so Holy Spirit can give you revelation and bring these back up to let me have a mental understanding of it so I can defend God or I can know the complexity of it so I can be elevated to the next level based upon my knowledge.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed when I was the most humble and I just acted like I knew nothing, then God could use me.
Yeah.
That's when God can use me.
Yeah.
You have anything else? I have one story that the Lord brought up.
There was one. I don't remember the fullness of it, but I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. I think it was him and Lester Sumrall. I think he had had a Bible study. You may remember the story better than I do, but he had had a Bible study, and one of the days, I think it was Lester Sumrall, came in and wanted to be with this great man of God and hear what he had to say and listen to what he had to read out of the Word. And he gets up there and he reads one scripture, just one, and then closes his Bible and said, great, thanks, y'all go home. That was it. Because all that they needed in that day was just in that one scripture. And that had so much meat to it, that was just it. He didn't need to sit up there and read the entirety of the chapter, the entirety of the book, the entirety of everything. He just needed to read that one scripture, and that was what was needed that one day.
Yeah.
But I don't remember who it was. I've said it enough. But I think the person who was telling the story was like, what, you're just going to get up there and read one scripture, and that's it? Like, they were disappointed that they had come all this way to hear this wonderful Bible study about something, and they just heard one scripture, and they were disappointed. But it's not in the knowledge of the depth and the complexity, and you've said it all today, it's not in the complexity of it, it's just in the yielding and receiving.
Yeah. So, I want to tell you all this story, and just keep it on the wide shot. It goes with what we've been talking about today. And I was in the Marine Corps, and we were on the range. And this was during boot camp. And on the range, we were sitting there, and I remember the coach is what they called the guy that taught you how to shoot. Mm-hmm. He got up in front of the classroom, and he asked a question that I was amazed by. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask the question and like he did, but then you're going to be like, you're probably going to be like, oh, okay, whatever. This is what he said, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, I want to know who of y'all have shot before. Raise your hand. Now, you're probably going, well, you shouldn't have known how to shoot before you went into the Marine Corps, right? Because that was my thinking as well. And I'm like, me? I grew up shooting. Like, I could basically tell you the ins and outs, how to zero a weapon. I could tell you the mechanics of it. I could tell you how the bullet, when you fire the trigger, there's a firing pin, and it engages, it releases, it hits it, and inside there's a combustion, and it causes pressure, and that pressure builds up and pushes the projectile out of the weapon, and then it goes, and then I could tell you the drop in the bullet based upon where it's the zero it. I could tell you all that before I ever went into the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
I knew the complexity of it, but the simplicity of it, I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And this is what he told me. He said, he told all of us. There was like 60 of us in there. And he goes, raise your hand if you've never shot. That was the second question. Mm-hmm. And you had like 5 people raise their hand. And this is the statement that he made. He goes, y'all will do better than the ones who have shot before. You want to talk about being offended.
Yeah.
I'm like, he don't know who I am. Like, I can shoot a beak off a hummingbird at 500 yards away with a shot. I was like, who do you think you are, right? He started teaching us the simple basics of shooting. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, did I realize how quick that I didn't know anything. Because he was teaching us the simplified basics.
Yeah.
What would you think is the first thing that you need to know when shooting a weapon? Think about a rifle.
Probably how to hold it.
Correct. There's a proper way to hold the weapon. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I was taught? Pick the gun up and shoot it.
Yeah.
I wasn't taught how to hold the weapon properly. I wasn't taught how to do all of that. So what I did is I picked the weapon up, and I'm holding it, I'm holding it proper now, but like I was all off, like I was like this.
Yeah.
And he went, what are you doing? And he pulled everything in, he got me tight, he taught me how to use my elbow and my body to rest that weapon, right? And then he taught me how I would hold the gun like this. He goes, no, hold the weapon like this, with your thumb out straight, because your weapon tends to sway. You put in your thumb there, and this is simple stuff. You put in your thumb there, it'll keep you from gripping it like you would like a barbell lifting weights.
Yeah.
And that'll help loosen your grip, and it'll keep you from swaying.
Yeah.
Like all of these little simplistic things. We spent 3 days learning how to hold a weapon before we ever loaded the weapon.
Yeah.
We spent 3 days going over rules of what it meant. But now notice this. People would go, I want to know how the bullet fires. I want to know how it hits the target or how to hit that target. They want the depths of it. Mm-hmm. But it's the simplicity that made everything work. He ended up, and then this is what he told me, and this is what it saved me. He goes, if you want to know the best advice that I could ever give you in life, he goes, when you go into a situation, act like you know nothing about it. Even if you know everything about it, there is a no.
Yeah.
And when he said that, like it was like that kind of hit me. But later on in life, the Lord showed me. He goes, as I'm ministering and people is talking to you, don't act like you know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's times that I know the answer, but I'll listen to Brother Brian talk, or I'll listen to other men of God talk, and I'll be sitting there, and like in my brain, I'll go, I think I know the answer to that, and like I'll store that over here, and then all of a sudden I'll find out that was the answer. But I knew nothing about point A, B, C, and D. I knew point E. I knew that this was the end of it. But I knew nothing about what I needed to know to get people to that point.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about what I needed to know about how that, you know, the simplicity of that. Jesus said it this way, boom, just run with it, right? Yeah. I didn't realize that, and it was hindering me for years. But then I gotten to the point, I just believe it.
Yeah.
This is the simplicity of the gospel. Ready? I'm going to say this sentence, that if you will be this way, it will unlock everything in the kingdom for you. You ready? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
God said it. Just believe it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If God said it, just believe it. I don't need to know. I don't need to know how when I lay my hands on somebody that somehow they get healed. I don't need to know the how.
Yeah.
I just need to believe that God said when I believe in Him and I lay my hands on the sick, they will recover. That's what I need to know. It's simple. When I lay my hands on whatever sickness and disease, it's cured.
Yeah.
But how? I don't care how. I don't need to know the complexity. It's just, it's healed. Like one of my favorite sayings is, what does the Bible say?
Yeah.
Like Courtney, I was her pastor for years. She hated sometimes coming in to have a conversation with me because she knew basically, well, this is what she's going to get out of me. What does the Bible say about it?
Yeah.
And she would go, literally, I remember one time she came into the office and she was asking me this. She had complicated this thing. And I sit there and I'm listening and I'm just doing this. I'm like, yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then I finally stopped at her and I said, Courtney, what does the Bible say about it? And she went, Pastor. And I said, well, what does the Bible say about it? She said this. I said, then that's where you start. Mm-hmm. That's what you believe.
Yeah.
But she was wanting the depths of it. I was like, no. The Bible said, believe me,
mm-hmm.
right? When a situation, I love what Brother Hagin said one time. He goes, once he got revelation that he wasn't supposed to worry, she said, calling me out. I love you. Brother Hagin said this. He goes, when I got revelation that I wasn't supposed to worry, I passed up some marvelous times to worry, all because the Bible said not to.
Yeah.
Like, I just believe God. Mm-hmm. He said, rejoice. So this is a real good thing. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. So in any situation that comes up, this is one of the things that I've started practicing. He said, rejoice always. So you know what I do in any situation, good or bad? The first thing I do is, if it's a bad situation, my verbiage changes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But even every day, I wake up every morning and I say this, oh, Lord, I'm so excited to start this day with you. I love you and I thank you. Father, this is going to be a good day. Your glory is about to come through today. Yeah. I may not know the ins and outs, how it's going to happen, but I know this. I know that your glory is going to come about today.
Yeah.
And then in a situation like my truck this morning, did I do it as fast as I should have? No. But I went back in and I was like, Lord, you got this. Yeah. I don't know how all this is going to work out, but I know it's going to work out. Yeah. Because you said that everything works out for the good of those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. Well, I love you. I'm called according to your purpose. Now, we're about to see how your glory gets manifested. I'm not sure. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how the manifestation is going to happen, but I know that it's already done.
Yeah.
In the 2 Corinthians 2:14, my God is always leading me in victory. I know any situation, I'm in victory.
Yeah.
But how? I don't care how. Now, people always ask how. This is I heard, I don't know if it's Brother Tracy or if it's Brother Hagin. I'm going to tell you the how. Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like it was Brother Hagin. He was with a pastor one time. He was going, some way, somehow, God just come through. Some way, somehow. And he kept going on. And Brother Hagin said, it started irking him. He goes, He's already told you the way, and He's already told you the how.
Yeah.
He goes, the way is Jesus, the how is Holy Spirit. Now let's just believe that it's already done.
Yeah.
But people don't see it. They see that as too simple.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to handle that because it is so simple and it works.
Yeah.
Literally, watch this. It's this simple. Just believe what the Word says.
Yeah.
If you can do that, mm-hmm. if you'll start doing that, I promise you, your life will go higher.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like a step. If you just get to the place where you go, I believe God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God. I believe what He says. He tells me not to worry, then I'm not going to worry.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yep.
It's that easy. Mm-mm. Oh. You sure?
I think so.
Abby said, how's it going to work out? Excuse me. Can you read Abby's comment? I'm trying not to bust out laughing.
Abby said, how's it going to work out? How's it going to work out? That's where we put on faith. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Not the conviction of things we see how they will work out.
And understand how they'll work out.
Yeah.
Like, there's something bubbling up in me. Like, I can, like, it's joy. Because it's so simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so, and I know people right now are going, I came here to watch great revelation.
Yeah.
This is probably the best revelation that I can impart to you. Mm-hmm. Just believe God.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? Like, that is literally the answer that I have used in my life that has gotten me through some of the worst circumstances. What does the Bible say about this?
Yeah.
And then I find out what the Bible says, and then it's simply this. I believe God. Believe God.
Yeah.
But no buts. No. But God said this. Then that's what I'm going to believe. But this situation, you don't know how bad it is, Pastor. My car quit. My kids are my kids have left me. My husband's left me. I have no money in my bank account. I'm sick. I got this disease. I got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What did God say?
Yeah.
But how does that work? No. What did God say? What does the Word say about it?
Yeah.
If we'll just make this and what it says, and we'll take that just as what it says. Like, for instance, 2 Corinthians 9. He gives seed to the sower. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Watch this. Lord, I believe that you give seeds to the sower. So right now, Lord, I'm going to be a sower. We did that. Mm-hmm. And you know what started happening? Mm-hmm. There was more finances that started coming in than we knew how to handle.
Yeah.
So we just started giving it away. It was like, here. We just started sowing as much as we could, as fast as this here, sowing as much as we could.
Yeah.
Now watch this. When we stopped purposing to be a sower, guess what happened?
Dried up.
It dried up. So we recognized it and said, Lord, no, we purpose to be a sower. And we're not just going to purpose it to be a sower for 6 months. No, Lord, we're living a life of being a sower. Your word says this, that you give seed to the sower. So therefore, Father, I believe your word. I purpose in my heart to be a sower. You give me seed, I'm going to sow it.
Yeah.
And what happened? All of a sudden, it started flooding again.
Yeah.
That's what happens. I just believed it.
Yeah.
I didn't try to make it complicated on how the seed was going to get to me. It told me how the seed was going to get to me.
Yeah.
It says, He, Jesus, the Lord God, Holy Spirit, gives seed to the sower.
Yeah.
Then it says this, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Mm-hmm. So you know what I started believing when I sowed seed?
You're going to reap bountifully.
But I'm going to reap bountifully, not a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, it took me a little bit to get, like, because I had to get out of my head that, well, God doesn't need me in abundance. Well, read the next 3 scriptures. It'll show you that thinking's wrong, right? But just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. This is what the Word says. Holy Spirit will give you the revelation when you need it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go get the revelation. Here's the reason why. In you seeking out the revelation or the knowledge, you'll miss the manifestation of it, what the Word talks about. It'll be right in front of you and you'll miss it because you're trying to understand the complexity of it. It's in the simplicity that God will show Himself stronger than I've ever had Him show Himself. Never have I ever had an encounter or been touched by the Lord when I've been studying the complexity of it. But when I simply just said, Lord, showed me, that's when He showed Himself to me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't doing it under my power, my strength, my might, my understanding. It was just, Lord, show me.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You have anything before we close? Mm-mm. So y'all just get ready to receive. And just watch this. Just sit back and receive. Father, right now, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what this word says. Father, this word is your will written down for us to have. It's what you've told us. It's what you've given us. And Lord, as we read that, we'll make a decision today. Father, there'll be times where you want us to go into the depths of your word. And Father, we are ready to do that when you tell us to. But Father, right now, we make a choice just to keep it simple. Whatever you said, Lord, we believe. You said this in John 3:16, "For whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So, Father, we know just on that scripture, in order to obtain eternal life, we just receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and then there we are imparted with eternal life into the very depths of. We're imparted with you because the Word says simply this, eternal life is knowing God. So, Father, we just thank you for the simplicity of your Word. And, Father, we just make a choice today. We purpose in our heart today, Lord, we're just going to keep it simple with you. And Father, we receive any revelation that you want us to have. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the simplicity of your Word. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. That we don't have to be rocket scientists or we don't have to dive into the depths of it to get to know you. No, Father, we simply just take the Word, receive it as what it says, and we run with it. So Father, I thank you for what you're doing today. Father, as just I'm praying this prayer right now, there's the earlier in the comments, I don't know who said it and that doesn't matter, but Father, basically the comment was that it's so hard to unlearn things. Father, right now, I just receive and just an impartation, Lord God, Father, and just as I pray this, Lord, I'm just command an anointing to come up on people, and as I do, things that need to be unlearned or untaught is going to fall off people. And they're going to right now have a revelation of these are the things that you need, the simplicity of it. Just the fullness of that's going to come out. That just keeps bubbling up in me. It's no longer going to be hard to unlearn things. It is easy to unlearn things, and it's easy to learn the things of God. So, Father, right now we declare anything that needs to be unlearned, we command right now every stronghold of knowledge that holds itself up against the things of God, against the imagination of God, any lofty things, we command right now by the anointing for that stronghold to be broken, those worldly thoughts to be broken, those worldly ways of understanding to be broken. And, Father, we just receive right now easy and light. Your Word says this, Lord, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then the next verse it says, come to me and learn from me. Lord, you made learning from you simple and easy. And we receive simple and easy right now. We thank you for it, Lord. We no longer care how everything is going to pan out, how it works out. This is what we know. In the end, we're already walking in victory. So from the beginning to the end, we're in victory. We're just going to simply do what you tell us to do. And we simply believe the Word for what it says. We simply believe Holy Spirit and what He tells us to do. We don't try to figure out the how. If Holy Spirit says go lay hands on somebody, we just go lay hands on them. And we thank you for it. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whew. God is good.
Yeah.
Barrett said, that's what we prayed out this morning, Joy. Well, I was doing everything I could not to just bust out laughing on the broadcast. That would have not been good for everybody. Been great for me. But that would have been no direction from it, so that would have been more soul than it would from the Lord. So I don't know, is that Abby over there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Abby and Marky's shoes kind of look alike.
Ah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know who that was. But if you would like to today, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this broadcast. And here in a second, they're just going to put it up in the lower thirds there, exactly how to be able to sow. And just like we talked about, keep it simple. Is the Lord telling you to sow? Is there a command to sow? If that's the case, you just be led by the Lord and do exactly what He says to do. We don't give you this broadcast in order to get something from you. No, we do this broadcast to sow into you. And when you sow into this broadcast, you sow into this ministry, you're actually helping partner with us to get the anointing around the world here in just a little bit. Here in, is it 6 weeks? 7 weeks?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
7 weeks. We're getting in a plane. We're headed over to the Philippines. Jonna, we'll see you in just a couple of weeks. So about a month and a half, 2 months. We're very excited and know the Lord is going to do some strong work there. So I'm very excited about it. But you're actually, when you sow in there, you're partnering with us to be able to get the anointing over to places like that and in the Philippines, but Africa, Mexico, and all around the world. So if you would like to sow today, you're more than welcome to. Just go ahead and you can do Cash App at GiveWW. You got PayPal. You have GiveBC. You have Text to Give. You can go to our website there at GiveWW.org, and it'll list out all the other different ways.
Yep.
You can scan the QR code and however you're watching. But we've made it. Watch this. Simple for you to give.
Yeah.
So if you would like to sow in today's broadcast, go ahead and do. We're going to hand it over to Abby, and she's going to tell you about some upcoming events, what's going on, and just pray a blessing over that seed. We love y'all so much. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Amen. Well, let's pray for every single seed being sown today. Lord, thank you right now for this seed. Thank you that it is sown into good soil, and thank you that you have promised a harvest. Thank you, Lord, that every harvest is pressed down, shaken together, and running over quickly back into the hands of the sower. And thank you, Lord, for the seed of this word as well. Thank you that it is planted in the soil of our hearts, and it is producing a harvest in our life. For every person who will grab a hold of this word and take it, thank you that it is producing your good fruit in our lives, starting right now, in Jesus' name. We praise you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, there's just a few quick announcements for you. First of all, in case you haven't heard, on this very channel, the Brian Wright YouTube channel, we have started every morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time having Front Lines Prayer every single weekday on this very same channel. So if you haven't already, please hit that notification. That notification button. It looks like a little bell. You can just tap it, and that'll let you know when we go live. You don't have to go searching the depths of YouTube to find the videos. It'll pop up at 6 a.m. when we start that, and also at 12 noon when we start our Lunch Plus broadcast every single day, every single weekday at noon, and we want you to be able to join both of those. We would love that. Please share it with your friends and family. Get the word out there, and it's just going to be awesome. We're so excited to hang out with you every single day. We look forward to it. We also want to let you know that the partner camp meeting will be here before we know it. It is coming up very quickly. The weather's already getting ready. It will be here August 6th through the 8th. So if you haven't already, please scan that QR code or go to whatsright.com/campmeeting to register to be a part of this year's partner camp meeting. It is free. There is no fee to register. So if you plan on being here, register today, please. That helps us plan for it, and we're planning some big things. It's going to be an awesome, awesome event. And I believe, is there anything that I'm forgetting? No. Not to my knowledge either. All right. Well, we love you so much. We will see you again tomorrow at 6 a.m. and at noon. Bye. Never, 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 never
Never, 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 never